Hi, I'm Kim.
And I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Parenting Young Adults with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us today. As always, we have a number of topics that we'd like to discuss. And the first one we're going to talk about today is plastic surgery. Tora, you wanted to talk about plastic surgery in the Black community?
Yeah, because it's definitely picking up. I know we've touched on it a little bit, but it is picking up. And I just want to know why, because I feel like our sisters have been just built so perfectly. And then they're chasing a dream or they're chasing a look that they're born with. Like, you're born with hips, you're born with a booty, you're born with beautiful lips. And just because you're young, like, that's my thing. A lot of these girls don't know you fill out late in life. And I know you want it now. Surgery, I don't know if you've seen it on like the social media, the news channels, but it's 18, 19, and 20 year olds. I mean, that age group, they are packing the doctor's office. They're coming up with this money from somewhere, $10,000 surgeries and $1,000 injections. They're coming up with this money to get this look that you're gonna eventually get. Like, after you get into a nice committed relationship, you start thickening up, or you have a baby, you thick fill out, you know, your boobs definitely come in. And I just don't understand why are these girls just, you know, doing this to themselves. I mean, I'm not saying you aren't supposed to do what makes you feel good. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is give yourself time to grow into the look that you're supposed to look like. Like, Kim was, I don't know if you've heard, but Kim Kardashian was asked a question. Does she give off an unrealistic expectation for young women as far as their looks? And she said, absolutely not. And people went crazy on her. I didn't. I agree with her. She's no one's mother, grandmother, or anybody else. She has her own children and family to worry about. She has to do what's best for her. She cannot parent all these other kids out here who want to look like her or have what she has. Like, I feel like her look and the way she wants to look is exactly what she needs to look like. She's a grown woman. But these young kids trying to act like this grown woman and look like this grown woman, I have a problem with that. And I don't blame Kim.
See, I think that when you ask the question, why are young children trying to do that? Mm-hmm. The answer flows directly back to the Kim Kardashians and Nicki Minaj's and mm-hmm. Kay Michelle's mm-hmm. and all those women with the, I mean, there's so many, Dime Piece and, oh God, Lyrica Galore. I mean, every woman I can think of that's connected with a rapper, that's a video vixen, that is a reality TV star practically, that's what they all do. They get the Barbie doll Coke-shaped figure with the big boobs, the liposuction in the waist, and the big behinds. And I think that it is disingenuous to be a public figure that you know kids look up to and make your living based on that body type with all those plastic surgeries mm-hmm. and then pretend that you're not influencing anyone and we don't know why they're doing it. The same way with her sister Kylie and those mm-hmm. lips. Mm-hmm. The things that those women like that do, and those women, I just mean public figures mm-hmm. that the younger young adults and the teens look up to, they are a great influence on the children. So she knows, and I just
did to differ. I think that's so unfair, because I feel like, why should they have to carry that burden? Like, there was the era of the Groucho March where he had the thick mustache and he was kind of goofy, wore the big pants. I mean, I never seen in all the movies, you know, all the guys or anything.
Because it wasn't cute. Groucho Marx was not attractive.
Yeah, but he was famous.
Kim Kardashian was married to Kanye West. She dated Nick Cannon. She had sex with Ray J. She has her own reality show. She makes all of this money, so it's different. And what I'm saying to you is she can very well do whatever she wants to do, but I just think it's less than honest of her to pretend that she doesn't know that these young girls are looking up to her and trying to be like her, and that whole group of her, Cardi B. I mean, the list goes on and on of all those women who run out and get that surgery and look just like that. And they know that the young girls are gonna wanna do
it. So you think that that's how she bears the burden, is because these kids look up to her and she knows she's influenced, she has some type of influence over them. So she should take a step back and say, well, yeah, I know they want to be like me and look like me. So maybe I should share in some of this responsibility. I don't think
she has the burden or the responsibility. I'm just saying, I think it's disingenuous to pretend that she doesn't know the impact. They're saying to her, are you advertising unreasonable expectations? And I think her answer that I'm not suggesting that anyone do what I do, mm-hmm. this is what I do, mm-hmm. is fine. But I think step two is, however, I know the young kids idolize me. And those young adults, those teenagers, those young adults are going to go out and try to be like me and all the other ladies who have this same body, because the images we present on movies, TV, social media, make a scene, and really maybe it's translating into real life. A lot of men want that because that's what they see. So I'm not surprised that people will be going to go.
So Michael Jordan was very popular, as we know. Not everyone ran out to want to be a basketball player, 6'6", you know, all American.
But you're missing the point. He's not a sex symbol. Michael Jordan is not. Kim Kardashian, Nikki, all of them are sex symbols, and we all know the young girls want to attract young men or even older men. Now, take somebody like I don't know what to tell you, and it may not.
Brad Pitt is a sex symbol. So can we go?
Well, he doesn't do anything but wear jeans. I mean, you know,
flocking out wearing jeans and Birkenstockings and or the dirty buck
shoes. They do. Yeah, they do. People try to look like Brad Pitt and Denzel Washington if he wears waves. If the really popular men are wearing their hair in an Afro style, younger men will copy that. You know, but the thing is with men, they don't influence trends as much, I don't think, mm-hmm. as the women do. I think, you know, I think Kim is perfectly free to do whatever she wants, but I just think that it pushes the envelope to pretend that she doesn't know. The young children are idolizing her and trying to be like her. And it's not just her. I don't want to put it only on her. Like I said, all those people I named, plus all the ones I don't know. All you have to do is turn your phone or your TV on. They come parading across. I have a little cousin that's a model. She was like, I think it affects her ability to work. But she's saying, I just don't want to go out and get the same body that everybody else has.
And that to me would be, to me, for herself, her parents, and her market strategy, I feel like that would be, you know, geared to her. You know, like I think your niece that models, to me, that's the strong sister that's like, look, I'm going down this lane, I'm staying in my lane. So how is it that if your niece can be that positive about
it's my little cousin, but then I mean, I'm telling you in the same token that she's losing work. If she really wants to be popular and make it up the ranks, she goes to get that body and then she finds herself being a lot more busy. And I think that it's-
So she says she's losing work because she hasn't conformed to the everyday-
Yeah, I mean, I think she still gets a decent amount of work, but she knows that her career would skyrocket if she got the big behind and more boobs and that little liposuctioned waist. That's what they want.
Well, I think
she'd be doing all kind of Fashion Nova. You know how they do. She'd be doing all kind of stuff. I just think that those people are a big influence on the younger generation. And I think that they can do whatever they want, but don't pretend.
So should she put up a clause with everything? I'm sorry, but this is surgically... Like, what can she do if that's what makes her happy and people are looking at what makes her happy and trying to, you know, put the blame on her?
I don't know that she has an obligation to do anything. I was just saying, I think she should acknowledge it because we know that the kids are trying to be like her.
Okay.
We know they're getting that money together for that. I'm trying to think of some of the other names. There are so many of them that have that same body. And I don't think she, you know, I think for the younger children, parents need to parent their children. But for the young adults who are now 18, 20, 21, and can get that kind of money, mm-hmm. come on, she's part of the reason they're doing it.
Okay.
I don't think, you know, if that's what she wants to do. I mean,
that's fair enough. I just feel like we should stop letting everyone take the blame for us lack of parenting our children. You know,
do you think that your children now being over 18 if they really wanted to do something like that, you could stop them if they could come up with the money, because they don't need your permission. So how is that your responsibility?
And I think the only reason why they haven't even tried to come up with the money, or even though they love that look and they love, well, not both of them, one of them does. And she loves the full lips. She loves the BBL look. And she already has it naturally, but she still thinks it can be more approved on in her mind. But I think the reason why she hasn't is because of my parenting. She knows that I'm like, girl, bye. We're not doing that. You know, you're gorgeous just the way God made you. And that is nothing that needs perfection. It's not like you were in an automobile car accident, a fire or something, which needs you to take on cosmetic surgery. You are born beautiful. You have nothing wrong with you. You're flawless. And I think that right there is what keeps her from doing all the, like the most she's ever done is bought the lipstick that swells your lips up, you know?
Well, I think that's a blessing and one not to take lightly, because mm-hmm. I think there comes a stage where your children may do things even though you don't approve of them. She may, you know, they're grown now and they don't need your consent. But I do think it's great that you're able to influence her not to do it.
And absolutely. And they both built extremely different. One has, you know, a bust and very busty with no, like she considers herself having no butt, but she loves that look. She embraces it. The other one has no, is not busty at all. Like, she'll tell you she puts in silicone slips when she, with her, in her bras, and but she's also bottom, you know, thick in the bottom area. So they totally built different, and they're both secure with what their look is, but at the end of the day they still think they could improve on stuff, but it has nothing to do with outside influences. It's something that they feel like, you know. Even me, I always wanted to have like a nose job, always. But the more I have kids, and I mean, well, the more kids I had, it just didn't seem that important anymore. It was only when I was single and, you know, in the movie industry, I wanted it. And it was just because I wanted it. It didn't say, oh, these girls are getting more jobs. They got this, you know, sharper, keener look. Not a Caucasian look, not a Michael Jackson or Janet Jackson look. No, just a regular old, you know, having my nostrils more.
Let me ask you this. What was the difference between you not thinking about plastic? So first of all, in the 80s and stuff, what did everybody get? A nose job.
Right.
So you saying that you wanted a nose job is not surprising to me, not because you wanted to look like somebody else, no. But because that's what people were doing in that era. Mm-hmm. So it would tend to encourage you to look at your own nose and say, maybe I should do something. And so why is it that the young ladies want to do that now? Back in our day, they didn't want to get liposuction and butt and boob injections. No. So the fact that so many of them want to do it now says something about what's going on in the culture now, in my mind. Now, I could be wrong. But
No, you're right. But I get so upset because I feel like the natural body is just so beautiful, you know, and I think that natural body doesn't get credit anymore. So I guess that's my problem I have.
And I agree with you. And there are some men who will post stuff on social media and say, women with natural bodies and real hair, don't let the entertainment industry or social media get it twisted for you. You are still winning. I think in the real world, those kinds of things go far. But in the social media world, if you allow yourself to get caught up, it could make you think that that's what you need to do in order right. to just be attractive to men.
And I feel like I've heard so many men say that on social media, and they're all men that are appealing. So it's not mm-hmm. like you're getting just, please pick me, ladies. I'm desperate and I'm going to say some nice things about women. No, all the guys that I smile at, I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah, they're fine and they're yep. chocolate drops yep. and they're like, yeah, for the most part, I would agree. So we also wanted to mention about Dr. Savy. I am familiar with him and his alkaline diet and all of that, but you were saying there's a movement now regarding
him? Oh my gosh. Well, of course, you know that Nipsey Hussle, before he was murdered, assassinated, he was on the crusade of making a biopic of Dr. Savy. He had tapped into him, I'm quite sure, as early as he could. And I had always known about him. I had actually known about him before Left Eye, who also was killed right near his OSHA treatment center. And she, of course, you know, you have to I don't know who would know Left Eye from, you know.
They might not. Left Eye from TLC, right, who made No Scrubs and Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. Yes. Because she did die early, they might not, everybody might not connect it.
Nobody will, but a lot of people, I'm not going to even say a lot, I'm going to say just about everyone that knows this has associated the two deaths with Dr. Sadie's intelligence, because of course he also was murdered, you know, I mean, what he did. And you can say, oh, well, he was, you know, bringing money. No, the truth is the money he was bringing in was his. He had every right, he had a receipt, you know, and you left him in jail, you starved him to death, or you did whatever you did. We don't know.
Yeah, he was fine before he went to jail.
That's he was perfectly fine.
That's what we do know. And he was invested in his health.
Yes.
And that's what we know for sure.
We know that for sure. So anyone, and the movement has been, anyone who supported him and loved him, speak on it. You know, because people were afraid after all of these deaths that occurred because you supported this man who, you know, it worked. I still have my cabinet. I don't buy the stuff anymore because I don't believe in it anymore. The government, I heard, took it over. They confiscated everything.
His were doing one thing and his wife was doing it. Yeah. I heard there's all kind of confusion now.
Yeah. So
I never bought his products, but I was aware of him and I did listen to, I didn't buy everything, but I listened to what he said. And I think that anybody who focuses on fruits and vegetables and natural herbs certainly can't be too far off base.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I supported him too.
So yeah, I definitely give him a thumbs up with everything he had going for him. I loved him. I followed him. And this is just my part of trying to keep his word alive that, you know, the earth was built with all the medicine you need. However, if you feel that you want to go to the doctors and have the doctor treat you or give you, you know, a diagnosis and then you find a herbal cure, I'm for all of it. I'm for whatever you want. All I'm saying is if you are into the herb life and the alternative life of, you know, natural healing, that's where I am. That's what I would prefer, that if I was ever stricken, I would definitely prefer to find a cure that's more natural. You know, like they say, the lion in the jungle doesn't get cancer. So what does that tell you?
I never heard that. That's a good saying.
Yeah.
I definitely am into natural things as well. Some of the things that I especially liked about him was he was really focused in on our people. And he would say, our bodies need this, or our bodies don't take that. So he had a heart for us, and I appreciate it.
Definitely believe when he said, you don't take a Chinese diet and give it a soul food diet. You don't take a Jewish diet and give it a Chinese diet. Like, we have been taken out of our element. You don't give an elephant diet, you know, to a bird, you know, it's like, when he says stuff like that, I was just like, it just like lights went off. It's like things you should automatically know. But then when you hear the way someone says it, like, our whole diet from Africa was stripped of us. We still hold the DNA. We still hold the gene. We still hold that. And I've witnessed it in my own personal life. And I just was speaking on this the other day in a little lecture of how I tapped into it one time. And I actually will admit to you and the audience, I got afraid. I was like,
afraid of what? You tapped into some spiritual things?
I tapped into the spiritual life and what happens when you take toxins out of your body, eat healthy, have not exercise to the point you're breaking your body down. No, but just like an extra, you know, giving yourself the energy it needs. I tapped into it and I just felt like I had so much energy. My thought process was sharp. And I want to go back to that, but it was when
afraid. Why did that make you afraid?
I thought it was too much. I guess I don't know if afraid is probably the right word. Maybe I felt not appreciative to own such a secret that your body and mind can do that. I felt so spiritual. And I was like, all right, screw this. And I mean, I relapsed like in a heartbeat. I was eating steak and chicken and Doritos. I mean, it really freaked me out. And I remember telling my family, I was like, and of course some thought like, she's crazy. But then there's some who actually witnessed it themselves and was like, oh yeah. When you start taking like mad salt and sugar out of your diet and, you know, and start doing, you know, eating things that are your body's asking for, because that's another thing that's spiritual. My body talked to me. It told me what I needed. Mm-hmm. That was the part that I think when I say scared, because my body would tell me, you need greens today. My body would tell me, you need a lot of, and water tasted great. Like, I drink alkaline water. We know that. But mm-hmm. my body started telling me what I needed and what I wanted, and I wanted it. When I ate it, I was satisfied. And I think that's when I say I was afraid, because I didn't know the body could do that. There was a time where, I don't know, something happened during the night, and I woke up and I needed something that was like a plum. You know how plums have some plums have like a bitter, but not a sugary, but not a bitter. It's like caught in the middle.
Yeah, it is. With that tart skin and the sweet inside.
Yes. It was that craving. And I was like, what do I do? I drove all the way to a Walmart that is definitely 30 minutes away from us. And I found grapes. They were out of plums. I didn't know those plums were in season, but yeah, they didn't have any plums and they had the grapes. So I couldn't even wait until I got them home and rinsed them off. Like, I bought a bottle of water, rinsed them off out in the parking lot, and I just drove down the road eating grapes. And it,
wow, that's beautiful for your body to really speak that loudly.
That's when I'm telling you that it freaked me out. It freaked me out because I could not sleep. And I wasn't sleepy or anything. It wasn't like, you know, I was tired or anything. It was just, I was asleep. I woke up with that, hey, red grape seeds. And it even told me that you needed to eat grapes with seeds in them. I needed to crunch on that seed for that tart of the, do you get what I'm saying? The tart of the plum was the grape seed, but the sugary of the grape filled the inside of the plum. And my brain did that for me. It mathematically, I know people listening, only people who've actually had the experience would understand that. But when I had to write it down to break it down to me, because like I said, when they didn't have the plum, instantly my brain was like, okay, I'll tell you what you can do to compensate it. Get some grapes that have the seed in it. The seed will be that tart I'm looking for. And the inside will be, you know, the savory sweet that I need. Blew my mind. And
well, I mean, I think that's beautiful. And most of us would, I don't know what most of us would want, but I would love to be at that state with my body. I mean, I think I tend to be quite healthy, but I can't say that my body says, girl, go get some Brussels sprouts. And tomorrow I want to see you with some potatoes. Or you know what I mean? My body's not talking. If it is, I don't hear it. It could be, but I don't hear it.
I think like, every level, everybody has that level that they'll eventually reach. And of course, I've got you like probably a couple of more followers this week because I was showing your page to a lot. I'm like, she's so healthy. She's so smart. And everybody was like, I look over at them in my phone and they were following you. They break out their phone and they would start following you. And I was like, oh, I should maybe tell her that.
I hope more followers.
Raising the vibes. Everybody goes through and they see the same thing. Like, oh, you're legit. She talk about it and she backs it up.
Okay, well, that's nice. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Raising the Vibes is the name on your social media account. So
yes, it is. And I appreciate you sharing that with folks. And so what about that black guy? What state was he in? And he was really just doing, what was he doing? Giving a talk before the city council or something?
Talk before the city council.
Oh, because it was about education, whether or not they're going to teach critical race theory.
Yes. And he doesn't like
that. I'm sure it went viral, right?
Yeah.
He Do doesn't we know like what state that. He was in?
I want to say, it feels like it was a state with a C, like Connecticut or something, or.
Okay.
I feel like it. But what got me about his conversation, and I actually had a conversation with my children about that, because I let them listen to it and I asked them, how did they feel? And they saw it like he was just, saying, because they live in a different world than we do. Mm-hmm. They were saying like he was just showing his accomplishments and saying, see, if I can make it through all these adversities y'all tell us we have in life with police killings and underfunded schools and this, that, and the other, I made it and you can too. That they celebrated his win. And I wanted to feel that same way, but I was angry. I felt like, dude, you got to tell both sides of the story. You might want on your end, but there was somebody getting the crap beat out of them or killed, which was taking their eyes off of the people who really would have been coming after you. There's somebody out here who was suffering while you were getting ahead. And my kids was like, no, Mom, we don't feel like that. No, I'm like, how do you not see it that way? And they was like, because it isn't, everything doesn't have to be a negative thing. Everything doesn't have to be negative with it. And I'm just like, I probably was them a couple of years ago. This isn't the door today.
I just felt like he was being a house end, to be honest with you, and performing for the white people.
Did you say a house ninja?
He's no Warren Buffett. He's no Jeff Bezos. He's no Oprah. It's not like he made it. What is he even talking about? He probably just has no Bob Johnson, right, or some kind of person who is
Bob Johnson doesn't feel that way either. If you hear his podcast and hear him talk, he is with us on this.
Because if this guy really did make it to wherever he is without the racism and white supremacy, he would have made it even further. But also, let's try to be a real success. Where's your yacht? I mean, like, okay, you made it out the hood and got a couple degrees. So what?
Right.
I have a Harvard law degree. I don't feel like that.
Right.
I know that I was impeded by the system of white supremacy. I overcame it and achieved what I did despite the system. But I am under no misimpression that the system did not try to hamper me at every turn. So I just was like, what? But see, with your kids, I give them, they're young. They don't, I mean, you know, they haven't lived the life we live. They have a different perspective. But for me, I was like, this clown.
I feel like we protected our kids from a lot of what the world has to offer them in a negative way. You know, what the world has to offer them that's very negative. I feel like we've had an umbrella of protection over them. So they haven't really been in the world to know what we know and see what we've seen. But I feel like that guy has a place in life where he has people that agree with him. Because Morgan Freeman, I pretty much heard him say the exact same thing they asked him.
Now that you mention it, I have too.
Yeah, and it hurt me.
Yeah, but Morgan Freeman
is married to a
respect his personal life so much.
Yeah.
I mean,
I love him.
I think
I love him
to a white woman or something. I think that,
but he's married to a, yeah. I mean, he's married to a Caucasian woman, so I feel like that is also a protection of that's around him.
And I think that it would be difficult for him to say something different. That's not true, because some Blacks who are married to white people just put it right on the line. So I would want to put that on there.
Yes. You know? And I'm definitely not dismissing the fact that he's married to a white woman as he's ignorant or anything. I'm just saying there's a comfortability that's around him that he's not subjected to every day. Being married to a Black woman, we come with our issues. You're a Black man, you're coming with your issues, and together it's big issues. When you have this one life over here that never experienced anything, and then yours is minimized because of that person, I feel like you're not delusional, but you're watered down in your experience. Does that make
sense? Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that the problem that I had with that dad who said all that stuff, he said it at some kind of meeting where they were considering whether they were going to teach critical race theory in school. And he really was saying that in opposition to teaching critical race theory in school. And I just think that it's okay to feel however you want to feel, but you don't stop our children from learning about the real systems of racism that are in place in this country that they will confront either knowingly or unknowingly. Like, I'm all for you thinking whatever you want to think, but then don't come in there and try to stop them from teaching basic information to other people. And then I also think that he was confused about what is critical race theory. because he's saying, well, what, now you're going to teach to some white person, stop me? That's not what it is. It examines things as they intersect with the issue of race. It talks about that video that we, I mean, it's like that video, things that talk about how race affects us in our daily lives in this country. And to say that because you got some BS medical, hell, I mean, I've never even heard of him. He's no Dr. Save. He's no, you didn't make it, dude. You just escaped the ghetto, perhaps. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So stop other people from learning about the systems that are infected with race, which is America. I mean, it just is. If we don't talk about it, how do we fix it?
That's how I feel. So when you say our children and people, you're not just talking about Black kids, right? You're talking about all kids need to learn about the race.
That's
problem.
Not a bad idea. You know me, I'm talking about Black kids, but I do think that you're right, because look at, if we can create more people, more white people, like the people on that whitewashed video, in order for them to become that, they have to be aware that this is even happening. So yeah, we need to teach everyone, and then it'll stick where it sticks.
Yes.
Yeah, I think everyone needs to know about that.
So I don't know why her last name is escaping me, but I feel like, well, I know her first name is Jean, and she talks about race all the time, and she's on just about every she's just about on every show talking about how race, because she's a woke Caucasian looking woman. I say
talking about that white lady, her name is Jane or something. Mm-hmm. The little short lady who did the blue eye brown eye experience.
I feel like if we, however she became woke, if that can be taught, because what she teaches white people, how it feels to be an outcast and be casted out. She teaches them that. And they, 9 times out of 10, these people have been speaking out lately, saying that when they were taught that, they've been cautious not to make someone else feel like, it's like walking on eggshells, and you must do that. You must walk on eggshells so you don't treat anyone like that. I walk on eggshells to make sure I do not offend anyone. And I'm on social media and I have people come at me in the most negative ways. But I walk on eggshells to make sure I do not clap back and say anything disrespectful or rude to someone else. And that's just a small, minute part of life. But when you're a racist and you've been raised as a racist, and then you get your awakening where you realize what you were doing is so mean, because you had it happen to you and you didn't like the way it felt. I feel like that's something you can't just miss out on in life. And I felt like that's what that guy was asking us to do in that video that we're talking about. I felt like he was asking all of us to not be Jane, you know, and do not teach this. Do not teach what it feels like to hurt in the world that has been created on racism. And I say the world because everybody does it.
I think that's a really good point. And I think that it was almost the equivalent of sticking his head in the sand and saying, because I was able to have some accomplishments, this really big, real thing doesn't exist.
And, right.
I think that's a problem. And I think in addition to Jane, we want white people. I tell you, that video restored my faith to some extent, because we want white people like that who are saying, this is wrong and I'm going to do what I can.
Jane Elliott.
I know exactly who you're talking about, but those people in the video at the end were like, I've got to work to fix this, and that's what we want. You can't get to that if we never teach it to you and pretend it doesn't exist.
And she says, based on her race and the color of her skin, under no circumstance will she tell everybody, no, she wasn't racist at one time, because she said she was benefiting from that platform that was built for her. Mm-hmm. And that to me just grabbed my heart and cuddled it.
Thank you for saying that.
I never saw race. I don't see color. I don't like bull crap, people. Come on, let's stop this.
Right. That's all you see in this country. And it's more prevalent here maybe than anywhere else. America is the hot seat of white supremacy and racism. We're in the belly of the beast.
It's a breeder too,
you know.
It's a breeder, because people see us want to be like the United States, And that is something that can take responsibility. Unlike Kim, the United States can take responsibility for Europe being racist and Germany being racist and Russia, because everybody wants to be like the United States. So they treat Africans, African Americans, like what they see the United States treat them as, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good point. I think that's a really good point. And I think that, you know, we don't need Black people trying to pretend that racism isn't alive and well. In the way we experience it may change. Nobody's saying you can't sit at this seat at the counter. Mm-hmm. But as those people in that video showed, it's there every day in every way. I feel like, you know, they've been gaslighting us for decades, pretending that we're just so sensitive and, oh, why don't they get over slavery, when every single day you're just benefiting from
every day.
It's crazy to me.
And give a shout out really quick, June 19th. It was my daughter's birthday, just became a holiday. So we went through it this week with her. She milked us for that.
Girl, she's born on Juneteenth.
She was born, and so how do you feel that it's become a holiday? Because we know how she feels.
It's weird to me. It's weird to me on so many levels, because for one thing, a lot of conscious Blacks were celebrating that anyway. For another thing, it really hones in directly on Texas. Mm-hmm. They made a national holiday out of something that really is about those far southern states, primarily Texas. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not into government holidays so much. I guess I'll take it. I do have some acquaintances who are pleased to have it, so I wouldn't deprive them of it, but I wouldn't want anyone to be misled into thinking that that suffices for a stop black hate crime, that suffices for reparations, that suffices for civil rights voting reforms. I don't, you know, like, thanks, but we, you know, we're celebrating that anyway. But I mean, you know, I don't know.
I'm
what
glad
do you think?
Feel that way. Because I'm glad you feel that way, because I feel the same exact way. I feel like, listen, people, that is a fight we got to keep fighting, you know, all the things we need to overcome. But when they do recognize something, let's not keep comparing it and shutting it down. Like, well, why would you give us this and not give us that? We want this. We don't need that. Like, no. We need both. In whatever order they give it to us in, let's just take it, because they don't want to do it anyway. They don't want to give us anything anyway. So at least whatever order we can raise the, you know, volume and
my daughter, that's what I was just eating, some of our leftovers. Oh, it's so good. All the pasta salads and mac and cheese and all the good stuff that you would cook, you know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, you know, I'm not going to be running around really celebrating any federal holidays, mm-hmm. but you know, this one in Martin Luther King. One of my girlfriends said, Stephanie, the one who came on the podcast, mm-hmm. she was like, man, we have one in the winter and one in the summer. So, you know, if it makes people happy, I'm fine with it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad you feel that way, because I really like the fact that, not just because it's my daughter was born on Juneteenth, and it was crazy because literally, I think I brought her into, I brought her into her pediatrician's office, but she wasn't there that day. She had another doctor there, and she happened to be Black. And so she was looking at her paperwork, and she said, oh, she was born on Juneteenth. I had no clue what it was. But when you say something to me like that, I instantly know it's something special. So I tell my daughter, it was 19 years in the making of me finding out. Literally, I never knew what it was. And I literally remember going to the library, asking the librarian, can I have any information you have on Juneteenth? And she's like, Juneteenth, what is that? And there was she was a very elderly librarian there. And she says, she means June 19th. And she said it like both ways, like she was correcting me, but also enlightening her. And I didn't know. I just said Juneteenth, because I knew when she said, oh, she was born on, I thought I separated the two. I separated June 19th for the word Juneteenth, not knowing that it was the exact same thing. So when she said that, I was like, okay.
The beautiful thing for your daughter is forever moving forward, if she's working for somebody, she gets a paid holiday on her birthday. That's not bad. You know, that's kind of cute.
That was special to us.
And so they've known about Juneteenth all along. I think you said that on a previous
podcast. Yeah, because I kept that in them because I found out what it was. So she's always known with June. It wasn't a big deal until this year because it became a holiday, but she definitely knew it was a special day. Okay. Both of them. Yeah.
My children knew about it. I don't know how long they've known, but it is something that we were, you know, we discussed it this year. They, you know, they were aware. We actually, we had talked about, you know, having people over and all of that sort of thing. Circling back to Dr. Sabe, do your kids know about him? Have they known about him before? I know that once Nipsey Hussle got involved, I think a lot of the younger generation learned, which was nice.
Mine started before Nipsey because of me. So they all, I mean, when he passed and saw a flash across their phone that Dr. Sabe, they came home like, mom, oh, no. Remember Dr. Sabe? Remember? And they were saying Sabe, and I was like, Dr. Who? And they was like, Sabe. I was like, because that's how they were pronouncing it on their social. Mm-hmm. I was like, Dr. Sabe? And it was like, he died. And I was like, what did you just say? So I immediately went and I was crushed. Like I cried like a baby. Like I do that. I mean, usually it has to be a very special family member for me to like weep because I celebrate, you know, the passing over. But that one hurt because I knew he was gonna live longer because he had set his whole life up. But then he also had told me, not personally, but he told me through following, his mother even prepared him that they were gonna take him.
He did, he said once he cured the 10th person or something that, his mother told him, like, coming after you now.
Yeah. And he had leaked it early, even though he had he didn't guide, the HEPA law wasn't his guide, but he respected you enough to keep it quiet. But now that he has passed, the private conversations he's had with people that they were recording, he was like, I treated Magic, you know? I treated Magic Johnson. I cured him of his AIDS long time ago, you know? And he, you know.
You know, I don't know if my children knew of Dr. Sabe before he became so popular in mainstream media, but because I'm fruit and vegetables and I don't even take Advil or Tylenol. Mm-hmm. So I know they are familiar with the and we have had a alkaline water machine for a decade. Mm-hmm. So they maybe are utilizing those concepts without having even known who he was. And then maybe when they found, we do that. My mother does that.
And they dove hard into, my kids have watched all Hidden Colors videos. So they, from the beginning, so they already
Tariq. He talks about Dr. Sabe in the Hidden Color series.
Oh yeah, they talk about, and the last one, Dr. Umar, that they incorporated him. He always should have been, but they were W.E.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington. So they, he wasn't in the early ones.
They did beef like that, didn't they?
Yes, yes. But I think they both realized they're fighting the same fight. So he's in the later Hidden Colors that are out now. But they both talk about it. They both talk about, you know, that fight of Dr. Sabe trying to get the people to get back on their original diet and use the health of the, you know, health is your wealth. But, so my kids already had dove in because I was putting that seed in them a long time ago. Like there's knowledge out there because no one told me at a young age, and I say it a million times, no one told me to go look for knowledge. I didn't know that that was cool, smart, the right thing to do. I would stumble upon knowledge and then I would look into it, you know, because I didn't know what it was. And I hate not knowing. I learned to read very, very late in life. And I'm not talking about elementary school. I'm talking about after elementary school, I learned to read.
Tara, are you kidding me?
No, I was illiterate because of the school I went to didn't recognize I was severely dyslexic. I mean, severely. And that's another thing about when I chose to take on my life and redo it with a healthier diet and, you know, light exercising and stuff.
It helped your dyslexia too, didn't it?
It almost to the point cured it, that scared me because I developed another superpower to live with dyslexia. You know, I'm able to read body languages better probably than most people can.
Yeah, because say you compensate with another sense.
And when you have a disability, people will probably swear for God it's not a disability, but dyslexia is a severe disability that kept me from wanting to read because it was so frustrating that my words would flip. And
it's embarrassing. You know, I do special education law, and I know that it's embarrassing in class. I know that it prevents you from accessing the education because in those early elementary school years, you're learning to read. In those later years, you're reading to learn. So if you're having a problem,
there you go.
It impacts your learning. So I get it.
And I never read to learn. I just read. So if I had to read, if I had to read the fourth paragraph, I could count the students. Okay, she's going to read this, 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 this. So I know I got, so I'd already have mine memorized. I was never reading. I could, and that, I think that's where my acting came in, because I could memorize my lines very quick because I only was memorizing. I never read for the, so I need to know if there's going to be a word that's going to trip me up and I might not know it. I could hurry up and ask a student, okay, what's this word? Okay, it's proctor or, you know, whatever. It could have been the easiest word in the world. I remember one was occur. I remember that was one, and I was like, Hurry up, I'm ready to read. What's this word? And it was like, occur? And I was like, no, the other word. But it was occur. But that was my compensation. Oh. You won't know that I was asking about that. And I was like, never mind.
That is a lot of stress for a child to be going through. And it prevents you, even if you could read to learn, it prevents you from doing it because you're so busy trying to not get called out and caught out. Yeah. That you know, I know that's got to be very difficult. You know, when I did my studies for my health coach certification, that's when I learned too that the food you're eating affects ADHD. All those kinds of things can be addressed through your diet, but people don't understand how significant food is. Like, I already knew that when they said diseases doesn't, you know, they always say like Black people always get hypertension. It's because of what we eat. It's because of the soul food and all the kind
the
of crap.
Sodium, the salt, the
there's nothing in our process. Body that is prone to cardiovascular issues or hypertension or anything like that, unless you're born with some kind of birth defect, is not. But for years, remember, they will always be like, well, you know, hypertension is high among the Black population. Oh, yeah. And we didn't connect it with, it's the crap we eat.
And that is
the pigtails and you know, all that stuff.
And you heard people say when you were growing up, well, my mother got diabetes, so they automatically assume you're going to get it. It's like, no, that's not how it works. Well, you know, everything's hereditary. No, it's not. You know, if you continue to eat the same way and drink the same way and do the same drugs that your forefathers did, then you might come up with them same exact symptoms. But if you stop it and change the path, you have erased all of that history. And that's what I feel like I did for my, because my mom's diabetic, my dad's was a diabetic, my grandmother was a diabetic, severe. But you know, moving forward, I kind of took on my grandfather's approach to life. He was fresh vegetables and fish. Mm. Very seldom he baked some chicken and or turkey, but that I took on his diet for my children because he lived longer than my grandmother. He was skinny, healthy, and not saying looks. Let me just not tell everybody who's listening.
But if you're overweight, though, is going to impact your negatively.
That's what I mean. So I'm not talking about, you know, I don't want people thinking I'm saying everybody wants to be skinny. No, you might not want to be skinny, but not want to be thin or built, but that's the look you're going to get when you're healthy. And he was very thin, and my grandfather couldn't read or write. So he went on senses also. He could only write his name, literally, and it didn't even look legible.
Did he have a career? What kind of profession did
he have? He had two careers. He was they called a hired man. He would go to people's houses and fix their houses and their lawns. And then he also worked at the United States Naval Academy and the golf course. He was a caddy for years. So he made a majority of his money towards the end as being, you know, taking care of the Naval Golf Course and being a caddy. But he also worked for Coon Ford Motors, and that was...
That's the one that was close to Ford.
That was the one who bought him like all the cars and the house and sent, you know, that spoiled him rotten because, you know, Mr. Ford himself couldn't read or write. So I think that's how he had taken to my grandfather when he was younger, because they had that connection.
And they were around the same age?
No. He was way older than my grandfather, but because my grandfather and I'm not gonna say way older, but because my grandfather didn't have, and that man was smart, like I said, something comes up when you're lacking in something, because he's been known to say, Mr. Ford is known to say, I can push one button and get somebody in here to tell me any and everything I need to know about something. So why do I have to learn to read and write or whatever? I mean, he would literally say that was his, but he knew, I think early on, that my grandfather didn't have that privilege. You know, the privilege that he had being a rich white man or a white man in general, my grandfather didn't have. And I think that was his compensation, like how people pay their tithes to a church. I think sometimes my grandfather was his tithes, you know, like, look, I know I got it. And what I can give, I will give to you. Because he gave a lot to my grandfather.
That's interesting. And then the other thing we were going to talk about is what I was calling, I guess we already left it, but I'm going to circle back anyway. You know, it's not just Dr. Sabi. There's like a whole list of homeopathic and naturopathic physicians that have been killed one after another. And it's a problem. I mean, it's a problem. And one thing that really I find in America, like, we're really good at identifying the bad things that are happening, but we don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to protect those people or what to tell them or what to do. But I think Dr. Sabi was just one among many, and they have continued to be killed after him too.
Well, there is a movement, and this is why we're bringing, well, I feel like I brought it up and we're talking about it, because there is a movement that let's just everybody talk about it. So either they're gonna have to wipe out the human race, because everybody doesn't want to take the homeopathic. Everybody doesn't want to eat right and take it. Everybody doesn't. And I personally, if I need medical treatment, I'm going to go. I just came from the doctors. I'm going to take that route. I'm not going to say one is better than the other or the one we don't. I'm not her to do that. All I'm saying is give me the choice that if I want to take this route, let me take it, or let me take this route. I want my kids vaccinated. Because if there is a wave of some type of incurable disease that my herbs can't get to, or, you know, I can't conjure up.
That your vaccine didn't cause.
Okay, that's fair enough. So there's a guy who was on the Breakfast Club who said none of his kids were vaccinated. And then I think DJ Envy said, well, they won't let you into school. And he said, no. You have to have it written that that's part of your religion, and they have to accept that. And I think you probably have to sign a whole bunch of papers saying that if your kid catches smallpox or, you know, mumps and or whatever, that you can't come after the school because there was an outbreak and your child wasn't vaccinated. I think that's kind of what he was saying.
I don't know about the latter part, but I know that I had opted my daughter out of the HPV vaccine because there was some mandate for everybody. It just was all big. First of all, she's never getting it if it's going to come through me. But secondly, it was all of a rush, like around, I don't know what grade that was. Everybody's got to get it. No, we're not getting
it. My kids got it.
Vaccine. Oh no, we didn't get it. And it's just a form that you say you have a religious objection or a conscientious objection. And then that's it. It used to be, but now, you know, I don't know how complicated they would try to make that. But that's
no, that's the same form, the conscientious objection, because it's the military one that if you don't want to go fight in a draft in the war, if they ever have, you can say that, you know. So yeah, it was the same one. And I read on it. I thought about it, and I said, I'm just so with anything that can help them in life, prolong their life, keep them safe.
You're pro-vaccine, and we understand that. And I wouldn't say that I'm an anti-vaxxer, but there did come a point where I no longer saw the advantage of getting those kinds of things injected into our bodies.
If I was to bring a new baby into this world, which I'll never do again, but if I but if I were, that my kid would not get the MMR shot on cue. No, I believe that thing caused autism in young Black men. I feel like I'm a witness to that. So I feel like they do need the vaccine, but I feel like when you give it to them on schedule, their bodies are just not strong enough to help it mutate to what it's supposed to do. Because like I heard and read that they put so many into that one vaccine that the body is just tore the body apart as an infant. So they would eventually get it. But I would have to ask them, can you hold off until my child's brain has developed, and, you know, pray for the rest.
You know, the last thing I was going to say about that is the reason why they're fighting the naturopath, homeopathic thing so hard is it's big pharma. Because, you know, they make all their money off of these pharmaceuticals that try to mimic what the body or what natural remedies do. If you turn to natural holistic remedies, you don't need them anymore. That's a big, powerful.
But it's got to be more than that. It's also people who feel like the world is overpopulated and they have to make sure that people die on schedule. Like, you can't live 100 years. Everybody starts to live 100 plus years.
We'd be just fine.
We'd be just fine, but somehow someone else has a math or a calculator that just don't add up to me, because I feel like, what would be the problem? I feel like when life itself, if you trust life itself, it will happen. You know, it'll
like we talked about, there's so many areas on this earth that are unpopulated because we're all jammed up in these centers. We could just spread out and imagine how intelligent we would be, because, you know, we don't really start coming into our real knowledge until our 40s and 50s.
No,
I'm not saying that we're just total, you know, idiots, but I am saying that we really mature up and wise up after some decades. So the longer
we don't, you know, that they're the men who are in their 40s and 50s who have come up with this purge of people need to go and, you know, and be depopulated or stop some of the population. Like, there are older men who have come up with this. So it's like, maybe some of us get our knowledge in our 40s and 50s, but then there might be another race or type of person who loses their knowledge.
They're diabolical. They're always going to be coming up with something anti-human. I'm sorry. And they, I don't even necessarily mean white people. I just mean the global leaders.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about too. I'm like, you know, another race of people other than black people, I feel like, lose their intelligence in 40s and 50s, because I'm just thinking, dude, like, you're too old to be talking like this. Like, these young people don't want to hear there needs to be a depopulation. Like, they want more people.
To the hype. I think that they've been saying that in those circles for so long that people just take it to be true instead of just investigating. The earth is large enough to accommodate us, I do believe.
Very large.
So the other thing we want to talk about is reformed cheaters. You saw a video about some guy?
Yes, it was this really nice, handsome guy. And he was talking about how he had cheated on his, and I've talked to my children also about cheating. My son is as perfect man as you're gonna get. Would not cheat, he does not cheat. He's pretty much a perfect gentleman. And I pray that some nice young woman one day appreciates that, because he says he's been called the nice guy so many times.
Oh, that can be the death nail when they start calling you the nice guy.
Yeah, they call him the nice guy. And he's like, I don't understand. Like, if you treat a girl like he has so many female friends and they confide in him about these horrible men that dog them out and cheat on them. And he's just like, not that he wants to get with them, but he's just like, well, why I have a problem, man? Because I don't do any of that.
Fabulous lady. There's going to be somebody, young lady, fabulous young lady.
I keep praying that. I
want to appreciate.
He's an amazing dad. He's a single dad. The baby mother's in the child's life, but my son is a single dad on his end. So he doesn't have anyone helping him when he does have his child. He's raising it, you know, without a girlfriend or a wife or anything. So he's an amazing father and he's an amazing young man. And so I have talked to him about cheating. I have talked to my daughters about cheating. They still need some work.
It always seems like it's different with a woman, but it's really not. And you can really break some guy's heart and ruin him sort of for the coming women if you treat him a certain way.
So yeah, they still need some work. But this young man, he was talking about how he was young. I think he had to be in his mid-30s.
Oh wow.
And he was saying he had cheated on his wife, and he had been with his wife for 5 years. He had cheated on her with some random one night stand. The girl got obsessed that he cheated and sought out his wife on social media, told her all about it, their night rendezvous and da da da, and things that she probably added on more, of course. And he was crushed. He said he believes in his heart he's more crushed than even what his wife could imagine him being, because he said the guilt is eating him up. Like, he wants to stay married to his wife. And he kind of gave me a good insight on life. He said he wanted to stay married to his wife. She has, and she has told him she's forgiven him, but he just prays that she really has, because he said he beats himself up. But he said also, I can understand how men leave their wives after this, and it's not because, you know, the wife is throwing in his face about cheating or making him feel insecure or whatever. He said the guilt is looking in her face every day is eating him up, and he doesn't know how to live with it. And I was just like,
counseling for sure.
He needed the counseling, and she, I mean,
probably both do, but he needs some for sure.
And the girl to me seemed like me a little bit. She was like, I knew it was going to happen. You know, she was like, I was never in my mind thinking marriage is this whimsical thing that, you know, guy is going to marry me and just be all about me for the rest of our lives. You know, she said, she always said, in the back of her mind, like,
sure is she? Wow.
That's what I said. But I was like that too. And I feel like no matter what, but she's a lot stronger than me, because it never, I've been cheated on and it never changes. Like, you remember it, you know it, and it doesn't change for you. So she, to me, was okay. Like, she changed with it, you know, she became more, you know, mature and enlightening and respectful of the situation. Me, I became bitter. I was sad. I was angry. But I also was prepared, because I always felt like when you marry young and you expect someone to be with you for the rest of their lives, it's almost like
in 4 decades or something like that. Yeah.
You know, and older people don't talk to you like they should, because I talk to older people all the time. I'm like obsessed with elderly people, and I always ask people who've been married for like 50 years, you know, 70 years, I ask them, I say, you know, what's the, you know, the key to marriage? And a lot of always say the old saying, don't go to bed mad, always talk things out, learn to forgive. But I need to know, like, how do you still stay yourself? Because I feel like you lose who you are in marriage. Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, some older people, well, I saw this, I don't know what show it was on, but they said, the woman said that she asks other couples how they stay together so long. And some of them say, you just don't leave.
You just
don't. So that means they're putting up, not necessarily putting up with
putting up,
dealing with
putting
it.
Up.
You may not be putting up with it. You may be protesting, dealing with it, whatever. Putting up sort of implies that you're just going along with any old thing. Mm-hmm. But they say they just don't leave. Another thing remember, is that, go ahead.
Do you remember the movie Fences? Or the play?
The Washington play?
Yeah.
I mean, or the August Wilson play?
The August Wilson, yes. Yeah. Yes. That to me, even when I participated.
But I didn't really watch it, so I know about it, but I couldn't know that, I don't know the details.
Yeah, it was it's one of those things where he stepped out, he had a baby, and he brought his baby home. I feel like you just don't leave. Don't apply to that. That is right.
I think I told you I had a friend from Uganda many years ago when my son was really young. And that happened with her. Her husband, her name was something like Eve, some kind of Eden, Eve. Mm-hmm. But her husband had a baby outside of the marriage. And she wanted to, I thought this was an African thing at the time. Mm-hmm. She wanted to save her marriage. So she told him, get the baby and bring it here. Because in her mind, that eliminated his need to constantly keep dealing with that baby's mother, which will continue to destabilize their marriage. Whereas if you just bring the child here, we got this. I don't know if her husband did or didn't do it, but I remember her saying that was her position.
No, that's a deal breaker in my eyes. Because my thing is that baby, God bless his soul, a constant reminder of what you did to me. So you take you and your constant reminder and remove yourself from my life.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of women feel that way. What I feel like is, Lord, don't let me have to make some kind of choice. Certain choices I don't want to have to make.
Yeah, those choices right there be above me. I'm not going to put it on the low, though. I'm going to make it above me. They're above me. I can't come that high in life, and I will not want to. I feel like that is not freeing of my life. You know
what? There's one woman I know. She's around my age, and she's been married to her high school sweetheart. Now, I have no doubt that they've been through some stuff because he was in the Navy, and so he would be gone for long periods or whatever. But in a recent, at the time of a recent anniversary, she said, you know, how much she loved him, blah, blah, blah. And she said that his behavior had allowed that innocence to always stay in her eyes.
Oh my God, I know what she's talking about.
I do too.
I know what she's
As
talking about.
As a woman, I know exactly what
I think she's a man can do about. Everything to his marriage and keep it the same, but when he breaks the innocence, it will never, ever.
And infidelity is a game changer. That infidelity is a game changer.
And I think one of the elderly women one time at my church told me that. They said that become very forgetful, because that also will save your marriage. And they said, if you can learn to forget a lot, and because the way she spoke on her husband was like he was the king of everything. And I just was amazed by that. Like, she had forgotten the scoundrel stuff he probably had did, and he just was her king and amazing. And I got that part. Don't get me wrong. I got that part. There is days where you feel like your spouse is everything. But then there's the days I guess I haven't learned to forget yet. So I'm like,
well, at least you're still there. I'm whole divorced. And I think that it's a gift when you are blessed with a romantic relationship, a intimate relationship that you're able to maintain for a long period of time. And I was with my husband for a long time before we got married even. I know that it's not an easy thing, but I do think if it's the right relationship, I mean, just hanging on for the hell of it because you want to be in a relationship,
right,
is one of the worst things you can do. Mm-hmm. But if you get a good match and you're relatively equally yoked,
yeah,
and you can, he's got to forgive some things, you've got to forgive. It's a blessing, but it's a work. It's work.
And I when I'm asked by younger people what's the key to marriage, because they think that 21 years is a long time, I tell them that fun. If it wasn't for the fact that we have so much fun parenting these three kids together and our beautiful granddaughter, and the fact that we have fun individually and together, I don't know if marriage could have, I'm not strong enough to keep marriage together like that. I know I'm a quitter at a lot of things. Like, when things don't feel right to me and I get angry, I'm a runner. I'm the fight, you know, the fight or flight. I'm a flight. I'm not a fighter when it comes to that. It's too easy for me to just be like, I'm going to remove myself from this situation. But the fact that we have so much fun together, like belly wrenching laughs, and
that goes a long way.
I don't want to miss days like that.
He kept me laughing. The thing is that we weren't equally yoked, and so inevitably it's just going to be a problem. You can either put it off while it gets worse, or at some point you can recognize this isn't the match I need. I need to do something different. So,
I believe that. And I often have thought of that so many times. You know, you hear about lottery people who win the lottery and then their marriage, they had this great marriage, and then, and it's always the woman. No, I shouldn't say that, because I did recently see one where this man said he wishes he had ripped up that ticket and never cashed it in. Broke my heart, girl. This was, I think he won so much money. I think it was almost like $300 million.
It's amazing. Either they end up broke, they end up divorced. It's amazing that much money tends to ruin their lives. I've never heard a great story.
Because that is American dream, to be able to pay off all your debts, send your kids to the best, you know, schools and colleges and travel, but only to it all be over for a piece of paper that you wished for, got it, and it didn't work out. And I know I'm stable enough in my mind and my world.
I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, well, I'll try it. Go ahead and dump the windfall on me. I'll give it a shot. But, you know.
Because I feel like that wouldn't change. I know it wouldn't change me. It would be a better
lifestyle. I mean, I wouldn't, I would keep this house. I actually like this house. There's nothing, I mean, it's great, but I would do some things.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I would do some things.
I would definitely want a better home. Not, you know, it doesn't have to be a mansion, but I would want a better home, you know, and not only that, I would want to be very giving, but I would not want that to be my focus, is trying to find another dude that made me feel better, or be around different girlfriends that are like, you know, out there. I mean, that to me is just not, it's never going
to
be a turn.
I would want to travel. You would probably be hard pressed. I would still do our podcast, but you'd be hard pressed to find me here. I would keep this home. We like this home. Yeah. I would get some other homes in locations as well. And then I would travel the globe. I would always be traveling. You know, that would be my primary thing. I, of course, would help some people, but I'm not going to become a just somebody that you just suck off of and just utilize and use up. No. Even if I have a lot, I like what Rick Ross said, I'm going to open a restaurant and give y'all ownership and help you help yourself, so that you're not just coming back, because it ruins relationships.
Oh, yeah. When
people are just coming back to you. Can you give me this? I need that. Can you do this? You know, it's hard.
Absolutely, yes. And my thing is this, I want you to help me. If I ever fall from this grace or blessing that was bestowed on me, I need to know I can come to you and get a couple thousand, 100,000, you know, buy me a house.
Even now, it's a one-way street. Even now, it tends to be give, 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 and never have anything when you need it. I mean, you know, so I won't be hoping
all on the Black celebrities and people who have, you know, found wealth and or riches, I'm not going to say wealth based on what the definition of it is, but have found riches, has said they haven't changed, the people around them change. And all of a sudden, it's like you expect someone to do for you. So it's like,
probably a little bit of both. I don't know how you get money and fame and you don't change at all, but I can see how the people around you change too. And what people have to realize is nobody just wants to be your lifeline. People don't mind giving you a leg up, but they don't want everything that comes up in your life, unless you're my child or perhaps my parent, it's not going to work.
You know? I even feel like even with them, I don't want to give them too much because it takes the fun out of life. I still think they should always strive to have something of their own to develop,
to reach some goals. Like
when much is given, much is, you know, expected. And
I think we've all seen many kids who've been given too much and end up doing nothing. You do have to have something to strive for in this world.
Did you know that one of the richest men in the world, Warren Buffett, does not do anything with fund their education?
I think he takes it too far. He's not leaving his money to his children. Nope. I mean, come on now. You're going too far, in my opinion.
Well, think about it. Gloria Vanderbilt did that to Anderson Cooper, but come to find out, she left him everything. She told him his whole life, you need to work your butt off. You need to get a good education, because there is no money. There is no wealth. And then he inherited this $200 million empire that he said,
well, yeah, that's different. I don't think Warren Buffett's playing.
Yeah, I think he's legit. I think he's real. Well, he ain't leaving nothing.
And then, you know, they were showing this little shack he lives in Oklahoma. That, come on now, what's the money for? How can you have that much money and be living in a little dump like that? I'm not on board with him on all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Warren Buffett and his stock tips and stuff and investments. Yes,
his financial acumen is phenomenal, but the social interaction piece, the social emotional IQ, emotional IQ, I guess is what they call it, seems to be a little off kilter because he's just too extreme. And I remember some years back it being like sensationalized. So his daughter was complaining, and you know, they said that she wouldn't help him do anything and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, that to me would drive somebody crazy, because you're like, I need help. You have it. Why won't you help me? I don't know. I guess if he says he never started it, so he wasn't going to end it, you know? So
the part of that to me too, I never thought about it before, but now that we're talking about it, he doesn't, I can't say what he does, but it appears he underestimates his blessings and just luck. I mean, you know, you have skill and all of that too, but everything has to fall in line for it to be the way it is. And so why would you be so harsh like that with someone else? But I don't know. I don't know.
I thought of it like that though. I never looked at life like that. Yeah, you're right. It is a blessing for him to have. And why would he debilitate his family further with, you know?
To the point, I think she almost hated him. I mean, that's what it appeared, that it was really not a good scene. So I don't know. I guess we've come to the end of our session, not our session, the end of our episode today. Is there anything else you wanted to touch on these topics before we...
No, I think we pretty much wrapped it up. I think we hit on all the topics and then some, and some bonus stuff that we had to talk about. So I always love when we get into, you know, other conversations so people can see that, you know, we're multi-conversational.
Yes, our conversations do tend to flow. And I think this was another good one. I've enjoyed the conversation. We thank everyone for joining us as always, and look forward to you joining us for the next episode. Thank you. Absolutely. And good night.
Good night.